You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The topic that is timely and it's timeless. It applied certainly in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and the question is how it applied. Well, it might have applied in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and it might apply now. The question is it an issue? Certainly in the week of Yom Yerushalayim, the 50th anniversary of Yom Yerushalayim, in the week that there is a person who happened not to be Jewish, who was very mahader in inserting his hand as deeply into the Kotel crevices as he possibly can, and there were so many tens if not hundreds of millions who saw that, so it's appropriate to speak of what's the halacha for us Jews sticking our hands into the crevices of the Kotel. And obviously once you discuss that, so to stick a note often involves sticking your hands in. So we're not going to talk about any halachas of sticking notes in the Kotel, because I don't know of any problem with that other than bizayon, hamikdash, at worst. But if you assume it's not a bizayon, because maybe it's fakert, it's to the contrary of a bizayon, it's showing a kavod and a desire. I saw some article that they do shovel up and clear out all the notes.
Twice a year,
I think they did it again for Trump.
And
I think they put it in Geniza. Probably not, because really? It's chayav to Geniza, but that's what the Rav of the Kotel, Rabbi Rabinovich, I think is his name, one very sweet person, I met him once, I think he was here. Rabinovich. And I think he said that they should put it in Geniza, which they did. So the question we have to figure out is, what is the issue of inserting one's hand in the Kotel? And the issue I could sort of say outside first, and then we'll get into the real issue, the real crux of the question, which will be as we see in the sources. The issue is, the Radvaz says that and the Radvaz is a super top rate, class one, first rate Acharon. First ring Acharon, as far as Psak is concerned, Radvaz is, he's like in the level of the top of the top of the top of the post-Gim HaAchronim. He lived, I think, in the 1600s. So he said that the Kotel is the wall of the Azara. Azara meaning of the Beis HaMikdash itself. According to that, everything that we talk tonight is extraordinarily serious, because if one enters the Azara while they're Tamei, they are Chayiv Karis. Now, basically anybody with any... I have to be careful how I say this, but anybody with any archaeological or even practical knowledge would realize that Radvaz is 99.9% incorrect, perhaps even more than 99.9% incorrect, and it's not the Radvaz's fault. The Radvaz just didn't know the Metzius, and it was 1,500 years since the Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed. The Kotel is the retaining wall that is holding up Har HaBayis, meaning when Herod expanded the Beis HaMikdash, and the second time, the second Beis HaMikdash, he not only beautified the Beis HaMikdash itself, he also beautified, in order to make it the Beis HaMikdash bigger, he had to make the Har HaBayis bigger. How do you make a Har HaBayis bigger? Well, you put dirt. How do you keep the dirt from, tumbling over? You put up a kotel. So, behind the kotel is what? Is dirt. On top of that dirt is Har HaBayis. So, people think that right on the other side of the kotel is Har HaBayis. It's not really the case. And right on the other side of the kotel is lots of dirt. 20 feet up is where the dirt stops, and Har HaBayis, the level platform of Har HaBayis begins 20 feet up, obviously depending on where you're situated along the length of the Kotel. So our question is, we know that there is Kedusha Har HaBayis. So is the Kedusha of Har HaBayis going to be violated if me with my tummy hands are sticking into the airspace of the walls that are retaining Har HaBayis? That's going to be the frame. That's how we're going to frame our question.
No question. If the Har HaBayis proper, if the Zohar proper, that an inch or any mount into the wall is proper.
That is going to be. That we'll talk about that as we go. So let's start the sugya with Psachim Peheim and Beis. Zez the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about what happens if you have a certain piece of meat that you're supposed to eat in Yerushalayim, right? Like the Korban Pesach, for example. And part of the Korban Pesach leaves the walls of Yerushalayim. The question is, well, how far is considered out? If you go outside the walls, you're outside the walls. If you're inside the walls, you're inside the walls. So what about, says the Mishnah, min ha'agav v'lefnim, if you are The agaf is the door jamb with a B at the end, where the door swings closed. Depending on how the door turns, that will determine whether you're inside or outside of the walls. The next three words, four words, what's important to us. Hachalonos, va'ovi hachoma. The chalonos and the ovi hachoma of the old city of Yerushalayim. I don't think we're talking about Yerushalayim, not Harabais. We're talking about Yerushalayim. Kilifnim. What do you have here? You see, I mean, anyone who has been to buildings in the old city, or any medieval, even medieval castles, know, I have a friend whose family, actually his sister-in-law lives here. Mrs. Beagleisen, her younger brother is my chavrusa in yeshiva, and Mrs. Beagleisen's parents have a house in the old city, they live in the old city, and when they got their house was a medieval something or other. And they redid it, obviously, to make it, livable, but to make it part of what they had to do, they had to chisel away some walls. The walls were in some places 6 feet thick. 3 feet thick at least, some places 6 feet thick. So the walls of Yerushalayim could be even, the walls of a city could be even thicker than that. So you realize that there's a very significant, measure that's under question. What happens about the thickness of the walls? Let's say an Eber goes out through a chalon. A chalon could be 6 feet deep. It goes into the chalon partially in the middle. Va'ovi hachoma, the thickness of the choma. What happens if a piece of meat from the carbon paste that goes out, is that considered nifsa because it's chutz Yerushalayim? Says the Mishnah, kilifnim. Oh my gosh, that's very serious. That means that if the thickness of the walls are kilifnim, let's just very quickly, I don't know if I have the right to jump, but very quickly jump to the walls of the Har HaBayis. If we're going to build the paradigm here in the walls of Yerushalayim, remember, Yerushalayim is further out, but the walls of Yerushalayim, the thickness of the walls have the din of inside Yerushalayim. That means the thickness of the walls of Har HaBayis should also presumably have the thickness of Har HaBayis. That means if I stick my hand into the crevice, which is within the airspace of the thickness of the walls, I just entered Har HaBayis, and I'm Tamei. That's not so gushmak. Explains Rashi. Hachalonos, Rashi just clarifies what we're talking about here. Shebechomos Yerushalayim. Because again, the Korban Pesach has to be in Yerushalayim proper. Old city Yerushalayim. Va'ovi rosh hachoma begova kilifnim. And again, even if you'd be on top of the wall, right? If it's a 6 foot wall, you could have a barbecue, you could have a picnic on top of the wall. That also would be considered inside Yerushalayim. Fine. That's one primary source. Now let's look at the Gemara in Zvach and Lamed Beis.
Can we say the crevice is not exactly like a chalon? It doesn't go all the way through.
Yeah. That will be discussed by the Avnei Nezer later. Says, I don't know if I...
Is it possible there's a difference between being inside and being outside? So if you're in, and
the Avnei Nezer is that also, yeah. I don't know if I cut and pasted that part though. Says the Gemara in Zachum, Amar Ulam Reish Lakish, Tamei Shehichnes Yado Lifnim. Now here, we're not talking about the Har HaBayis. Let's just back up for a second. Let's talk about Tuma, and let's talk about locations. There's Yerushalayim, that's the outermost perimeter. Then there's no Isser for a Tamei to be in Yerushalayim, unless maybe you're in Sarah, I don't know, not sure. Then there's an inner perimeter called Har HaBayis. Then there's an inner perimeter called the Azara. So we're going to now be talking about different, right, the first source that I was talking about were the walls of Yerushalayim. This is going to be talking about the walls of the Azara. What you and I really have to figure out is what's the halacha of the walls of Har HaBayis. So we're going to try, there's no primary sources that talk about the walls of Har HaBayis, presumably which is what the Kotel is. So we're going to have to try to figure out based on either what we just saw, which was the walls of Yerushalayim, which sounds like it's pretty serious. The thickness of the walls of Yerushalayim are like the inside. And now let's see what it says about the walls of the actual Beis HaMikdash itself, so the walls of the Azara itself. And perhaps from that we'll be able to deduce what the halacha should be about Har HaBayis. Amar Ula, there's going to be one other perimeter, which we'll see soon. Amar Ula Amar Reish Lakish. Tamei Shechnes Yado Lifnim. If a Tamei sticks his hand into the Azara, which sounds pretty much like what we're talking about, Loka, that Tamei gets Malkus for inserting his hand into the Tahara of the Azara. Shnemar b'chol kodesh lo sigat. Makesh b'il inagiyah. Now this is the important point. Ma negia b'miktsas, shma negia. Just like if you touch something small, a small part of something that has to be kadosh, that's called touching. Afbia b'miktsas, so too, even if your whole body doesn't enter, but you enter partially, you just extend your hand into a place that should be tahar. Also, shmeh bia, that's considered entering, that's considered that you were in that location. So, back to our question. Okay, I'm not inserting my whole body into that crevice in the kotel. Again, this is talking about the azara. But if I would insert my one hand, my part of my hand into the airspace of the azara, that's considered a problem. That's considered bia, that would be chayev malkos by coming into the azara. So presumably, I might venture to say the same should be true with the harabayis. If I insert my hand a little bit into the airspace of the harabayis, it should be a problem potentially. Says Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara is going to clarify one point that is going to be very important for us to, tonight what we're going to do is we're going to go through a tshuva together. We're going to go through the Avnei Nezer. And Avnei Nezer is going to work, or is going to present, there's one more primary source that we'll see. And with these sources, we'll see how the Avnei Nezer, it's an incredible, incredible tshuva. It's very, very long, actually. And I cut and pasted a small part of it, to just the points that are nogei. It's about 20, I think it's about 30, 30 paragraphs long or so, 30 sections long. And I just cut and pasted the main points to get the kernel of what he wants to say. This source is gonna possibly be a way that might help us a little bit. Says Gemara Pesachim, the Gemara Pesachim is clarifying what we said in the first source. We said above that if you're in the thickness of the windows or the thickness of the choma of Yerushalayim, then that is considered in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara Pesachim, I understand that you are eating the Korban Pesach inside the walls, or a piece of the Korban Pesach went into the chalon. Chalonos v'ovi hachoma k'lefnim bishlam hachalonos mishkach zlo deshavya l'karka azara. We know that you're supposed to be eating the Korban Pesach on what floor of your house? Korban Pesach must be eaten on what floor of the house? Korban Pesach has to be eaten on the ground floor, is that correct? And then afterwards they would go up on the gagos? Or only roasted? What? They were on the roofs, but on the roofs they sang hollow, no? On the roofs they went up to sing hollow, but on the floor they ate downstairs and they went up to the roofs because there was not enough room on the ground floors? I believe that's the case. Could be mistaken, but I believe it's the case. So says the Gemara, I understand in the chalonos it's possible to have a chalon with meat of the Korban Pesach in a chalon. How do you have that? Right? If it's up here, it's above floor level. The Korban Pesach has to be on floor level. It's possible that the floor, the base of the window, is all the way to the ground. How could you have a piece of Korban Pesach that enters the thickness of the walls of Yerushalayim? Mishkachasla v'bar shura. What in the world does this mean? What it means is the following. Says Rashi, Bar Shura, Choma Ktana Lifnim Min HaChoma HaGadola. There were two walls around Yerushalayim. There was a big wall around Yerushalayim, and then there was a very small wall. V'hinamuch, and that small wall was Shava LeKarka Gova HaAzara. That small wall that was inside of the main wall of Yerushalayim was very low. Shekarka HaAzara Holech V'Gavoa Va'Ola B'Ma'alos. It's a little bit hard to picture, but what I think this means is that coming from the outside, there was a hill. And the retaining wall for that hill was a retaining wall for the hill, so it could have, some of you might have in your backyard, if you have anyone have a slope in your backyard, and you have sort of rocks or even bricks to sort of keep the slope where it is. So the top of those rocks are really not elevated above ground level. They are at the ground level of the higher part of the slope. So that's a possibility where you could have you see from this Gemara, and this is going to be an important point that the Avnei Nezer will point out soon, that the case where you're going to have meat that's going out of the Choma is going to be if it's on that lower wall, that lower wall being on ground level. Keep that in your mind. We'll discuss it soon.
That's the Azara. Are we talking about the Choma Yerushalayim?
I don't know the answer to your question. Yes. Now, I have a Ha'ara from Ima.
It sounds like that the height, there's a certain height you can go, that you're still as high as...
I don't know enough about Korban Pesach to answer the question. Yeah, I just don't know enough about Korban Pesach. Now, keep in mind, the sugyas that we're dealing with here are not sugyas, they're sugyas of Tumah V'Tahara, sugyas of Midos, and sugyas of Korban Pesach. I'm not familiar with any of those three areas, and therefore, we're going to do our best to work with the help of the Avnei Nezer to deal with a very complicated and involved sugya to get the, at least we'll get the best of what the Avnei Nezer could present to us. So I have a quote from Ima. Who's Ima? Ima is my mother-in-law. Oh. My mother-in-law is a certified tour guide in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. Now, Ima pointed out, when I told her what I was talking about, she pointed out something very important historically that might make the rest of the shiur absolutely unnecessary. What's that? Ima pointed out that what we mentioned earlier is that the saying that the Kotel is the retaining wall of Har HaBayis, which is true, but which Har HaBayis? It's not necessarily the original Har HaBayis. This is not clear. The original Har HaBayis possibly was much smaller, and therefore the walls around Har HaBayis might have been much further, closer to the Makom HaMikdash. When Herod wanted to build up the Beis HaMikdash, he wanted to have a larger platform of Har HaBayis. He had to expand Har HaBayis, and therefore he had to push out the walls of Har HaBayis. So it could be the walls of Har HaBayis, meaning the Kotel, is actually much further, more far out than the original walls of Har HaBayis.
It's depending on where the Beis HaMikdash actually was. It's originally Midas.
This is very related to Rav Goren's position upon which many people, those religious Jews who do go up onto Har HaBayis, which all of my Rebbeim have told me that it's not a good thing to do, but those who do, all are following Rav Goren's measurements, saying that the platform of what we call Har HaBayis, I don't mean platform like a stage, I mean like the top part of Har HaBayis upon which all of Har HaBayis is much larger than the original area that has Kedusha, which is 500 Amos by 500 Amos. And Rav Goren did his calculations. I don't know what Amma he used, or Rav Chaimna, or Rav Chazanish. I don't know what he used, and maybe he used Machron and Mika, I don't know. But Rav Goren suggested that the platform is much larger than 500 Amos by 500 Amos. So clearly, part of what we call Har HaBayis is further out, is beyond Har HaBayis. So what I don't know the answer to is, okay, but he did live in the time of Beis HaMikdash, and maybe there was... It's positive that might have still absorbed the Kedusha and got a din of Har HaBayis. Let me say what I'm trying to say. My mother-in-law suggested or asked if the Har HaBayis that we have now, I mean the Kotel that we have now, is further distance, further away than the original size of Har HaBayis, maybe even if I would invade the airspace of the Kotel's thickness, I would put my hand in. Oh my gosh, you can't put your hand into the airspace of Har HaBayis. That's not the airspace of Har HaBayis. That's 20 amas, 50 amas further out from Har HaBayis. That's the Ha'ara my mother-in-law made. If she's correct, or if that point is correct, then there's nothing to talk about. The only possibility is it could be, and this I just don't know the sugyas well enough, that maybe the airspace, maybe that when Herod, first of all, I don't know if that Rav Goren's calculations were correct. A. B, even if they would be correct, I don't know if the... when Herod enlarged the, what we call the Temple Mount, Har HaBayis, did that, yes, gain the Kedusha of Har HaBayis. That is the new Har HaBayis. What? The second Beis HaMikdash. There's a Beis Din. Why can't, did you need a Vuh to be Mekadesh? What? There was a Beis Din functioning at that time. It was doing Beis Sheni. The Makkabim? I don't know.
Why can't the offer just be both?
I don't know the answer. I don't know the sugya of Kiddush Yerushalayim. I don't know if you need nevuah. You do need a Beis Din, but they had a Beis Din. They had a Lishkas Hagas. It was before, while the Beis Din Sanhedrin was saying. We're going to talk about that soon. Okay. So that's all as far as background is concerned. And we have to make one more point before we get into the solution. One more area to get us, you know, to make life more exciting is the amatraxin. What's the amatraxin? It's a Mishnah in Yoma that talks about the following. The Kohen Gadol would go into the Beis HaMikdash once a year to take the Ketores into the Beis HaMikdash and put it on in front of the Aron, or in the second Beis HaMikdash where there's no Aron on top of the Evan HaShesiyah. He would situate the Ketores, the coals, and the Ketores would go up. Now how would he get in? Well, there's a curtain there, right? We all know there's a curtain that separated the Kodesh of Kodashim from the rest of the Kodesh. So what do you think? If you have a curtain and you have to get inside, so what would you do? You slide the curtain open and you walk in. That's not what the Kohen Gadol did. The Kohen Gadol, there is a machlokas in the Mishnah in Meseches Yoma. Let's see it inside. Hayamahalech beheichal ad shemagil lebein shtei haparochas. The Kohen Gadol, when he had to go from the outside to bring the Ketores into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, would go until he reached lebein shtei haparochas hamavdilos bein hakodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim ubeinehem ama. Ah, what there was at the Kodesh HaKadoshim's entrance was not one parochas, but there were two parochases, separated by an amma, or an amma in total distance between the beginning of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the end of the Kodesh. There was an amma space, there was one parochas, another parochas, and he would walk in between, along the length of the, he'd walk in, look at my hands please, he'd walk in on, whatever, he'd walk in on this side, there was a little bit of airspace, and walk all the way there, and then he'd walk in a little bit on that side, because there's a little space, and then he'd come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the first opinion. Says the second opinion, Rav Yossi Omer, no. Don't say that there were two parochases, a distance one another from Avanama, but rather, there was a very, very fat, woolly, I don't know how you could do this with fabric, but a fabric that was an amma thick, and that was the parochas. Rabosa, I have a very simple question. The thickness of that amma, whether it was area of parochas or is area of space between two parochas, parochos, is it have a din of kodesh or kodeshim? Or does it have a din of kodesh?
Or is it neither here for the basically 61 amas, not 60?
I don't think one either is going to be an option.
Had that problem.
But let's see.
That's a possibility.
That is a possibility?
Rabbi Yam mentioned that's a possibility.
Aha. There seems to be a Gemara in Yuma in source number 6 that says not like that, so I'm not sure. He definitely knew it because it's the Gemara on that Mishnah. It says Gemara in Yuma, source number 6. I'm Rabbi Nassan. Amatraxin, this Amma that we're talking about, this Amma between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, lo hichriyu ba chachamim. Chachamim didn't decide. They didn't concur. They didn't come to a conclusion what status that Amma has. Kedushasi is the Kedusha of that middle area. Is it Kilifnim or is it Kilachutz? It sounds to me that there's two possibilities, not the third that you're suggesting. Is it either Kilifnim, it's like the inside, it's like the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or is Kilachutz, it's like the outside, which is regular Kodesh. Wow. So do you know what just happened? Do you remember we started tonight's discussion with the thickness of the walls? And we said the thickness of the walls is like inside. Here, you have, this is sort of the thickness of the wall between the Kodesh and Kodashim. And what do you have? What would happen if somebody, a non-Kohen Gadol, would stick his, I don't know, he'd go into this area where he's not supposed to be going? Is he going to Kodesh Kodashim? Is he not? What's the psak? We said before, the thickness of the walls, that you are going into, you are violating the area and the thickness of the walls. And here we're saying, if you're in the thickness of that Amma, that's the border between Kodesh Kodeshim, you are? It's Machlokas, not Machlokas, Safek. Lo Hichriu.
Kohen Chachamim, for sure, it's a separate curtain.
Based on the first bias, it was a wall. The second bias, no, right. Right. The first bias, when it was a wall, even then it's possible they weren't sure whether it was part of the Kodesh or the Kodesh. Okay, but now, just to make our life more miserable, our question that we have, remember, we talked
about
numerous perimeters. We talked about a perimeter around Yushalayim, that's Chamas Yushalayim. Then we talked about a wall around the Azara, that's the Beis HaMikdash. Now we have another perimeter to discuss. That's the perimeter between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And now you have two different models, because there's one that is not discussed, which is our Shaila, the Shaila of the perimeter of Har HaBayis, the Kotel. So is the Kotel going to be like the walls of Yushalayim? And therefore, if I go in the airspace, it's like entering Kilifnim dami, it's like going into Har HaBayis. Is it going to be like the Amatraxin, which means it's Safek? Is there any possibility that it's neither? Okay. Now, all we did now is we presented the issues, we presented some sources, and now we're going to go through whatever we'll be able to of this incredible tshuva of the Avnei Nezer. Look at his shaila. His shaila is exactly our shaila. Bidvar, this is the shaila of the tshuva of Avnei Nezer, Yoredeya, Simon, Tuf, Nun. That means he had at least 450 tshuvas just in Yoredeya. Avnei Nezer is incredible. Not incredible. So creative and so easy to read, by the way. Avnei Nezer is just a pleasure to read. Okay, says the Avnei Nezer. Ask that name. Bidvar ha-nekavim. We know what nekavim are. We say it in Ashiyatza. The holes, the crevices. Sheyesh b'yesod ha-kotel ha-ma'aravi. Sher ha-rabayis. And we know that on Har HaBayis, she'asal ba'al keri li lahachnes etzba b'nekavim. Ya'an, because b'ya b'mikta shema b'ya. Based on the Gemara in Zvachan that we mentioned in source number 3, that even if you don't enter entirely your whole body into the tahar area, you just enter part of your body, for example, your hands extended into a crevice, that itself is considered potentially bia, entering that tahar area. Says, and this next 5 lines is really the we could, you know, it's just the best thing in the world for us. Tshuva, there are 4 issues that have to be dealt with in this shaila. Dot number 1, bullet point number 1. Ha'echad. Im ovi choma shel har habayis niskadesh. Oh, meaning originally, historically, when they, which was really the point that my mother-in-law made, when that choma of har habayis was built, did it ever get kedusha in the first place? Meaning, you don't have to be worried that you're violating kedusha, or the middle of it, what's the halach of the wall, if it was never nikdash, niskadesh in the first place. So that's a historical question. Okay. Second bullet point.
It's built on Har HaBayis, then why is it not automatic niskadesh?
It's built on Har HaBayis, it's built around Har HaBayis.
So that's going to be the question, is if it's not niskadesh, if it's
from... I don't know if this is a halachic question or a practical question, I'm not sure.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Number 2, bullet point number 2. Habayis. Im ha-habayis kodesh rak agabei haritzpa, o kodesh ad ha-tahom. Oh, you remember we mentioned earlier that ha-habayis is where? Is where you're standing. How high is that? That's 20 feet up. If you're standing at the base of the kotel and you had x-ray vision, you look straight ahead, you see dirt. You look up, finally 20 feet above your, 15, 20 feet above your head. That's where the platform of ha-habayis begins. So let's assume that there is something called there, of course, it's Kedushas Har HaBayis. But Kedushas Har HaBayis is where? Altitudinally, I'm asking you. What's the altitude of the Kedushas Har HaBayis? Only on above the platform of Har HaBayis? Meaning when they were Mekadesh Har HaBayis, they meant the whole platform of Har HaBayis upon which people walk, and now unfortunately the little Arab children play soccer, and upon which the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, on top of that platform, where's the Kedusha is? Or does the Kedusha of Har HaBayis also go down? Oh, so then we could pass, if you assume it's only on top, so where we're standing on the kotel, on the bottom of the kotel, there's nothing to talk about, because there's no Kedusha at that area, because the Kedusha starts at a higher altitude. Only if we will assume that the Kedusha is not only on top, but it also goes down to the Tahom, then, oh, for example, the Azara, there's an explicit Gemara in Zvachim Chavdal and Aleph, Ki Kaddish David es Aris Tahoma Kaddish. Tahoma Kaddish. That when he made the Kedusha for the Azara, for the Beis HaMikdash itself, he sanctified not just the upper level where you're building the Beis HaMikdash, but the entire vertical plane, including the depths underneath the Beis HaMikdash. So that we have an explicit Gemara about, that David HaMelech injected Kedusha into the ground below the Beis HaMikdash. The question is, when they were Mekadesh Har HaBayis at a later point, did it also include the depths? Hagimel, that's the third question will now be, Im din bia b'miksa, shma bia. Of course it is. We saw a Gemara in Zachim that if you enter a little bit, it does count. Ah, somebody on this side of the room, I don't remember who it was, pointed out that Gemara in Zachim that says bia b'miksa, shma bia, that was where? In the Azara. So maybe that Zara, there's more kadosh, there's more risk, chiv kares potentially. So there, a bia b'miksa, inserting your hands, for example, that would be a problem. But maybe Har HaBayis is a lower level, maybe the whole did a b'miksa doesn't apply. So you see how every one of these points, if could be a potential kula, independently, to make this whole shaila not even start. Hadal, the fourth point and final point. Okay, we're not going to get into that. It's a little more complicated. Fine. Now, what he does, and what we will do, at least partially, in the rest of his tshuva, is he deals with each one of these four sections one at a time. And I'll try to draw some highlights from his tshuva that are absolutely fascinating. He raises the point that we said earlier on top of page 2, that the Mishnah Psachim that said that Chalonos Ovi HaChoma is Kelifnim. It happens to be that that's talking about the wall of Yerushalayim, right? The Gemara there says it's talking about the first Rambam Gemara Dehayinu B'Chomos Azara. Fascinating. So the Choma of the Azara, until now we were talking about the Chomos of Yerushalayim, the width of the walls, the width themselves, those thick walls, is like inside. The Gemara says that's actually talking about not the walls of Yerushalayim, but the walls of the Azara. Oh, so that at least takes care of two of the perimeters that we discussed. B'chomas Harabayis, lo matzina. We don't know what the thickness of the walls of Harabayis are, what the thickness of the Kotel considered. But l'chora mehecha teis l'chayik b'nehem. Why should the walls of the Harabayis have a different set of halachas than the walls of the Azara or the walls of Chomos Yerushalayim? He tells you, I'll tell you why. Because Gemara Yuma that we saw just a few minutes later says that the Amitraksa, which is that other perimeter bordering, you know, breaking, dividing, the Kedusha with Kodesh HaKadoshim, Makom Kodesh to Makom Kodesh Kodeshim, is not like the others. So you see that it's not so clear if the Har HaBayis should be like the Amitraksin, or should be like the walls of the Chomos Yerushalayim and the Azara. In the two bullet points, which I'm not going to go through inside, he explains that it could be that the Amitraksin, they just were, you know, there's more room to be machmir. And it could be that the walls of Har HaBayis are going to be more kal than the others. And it's possible that maybe the walls of Yerushalayim, even if you hold the thickness of the walls of Yerushalayim, the thickness of the walls of the Azara are kilifnim dami. It could be the thickness of the walls of the Kotel are not kilifnim dami. Okay, fine. Next point. Let's go to point to see if Dalet. He brings a Yerushalmi in Psachim, the Bekiyas of the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer, and if we, I think we will come up with something very funny, because I'll tell you the Yerushalmi, and you and I might say, oh, that's a proof this way, and he's going to show you how that same point is going to be the proof in the absolute opposite direction. The Yerushalmi says the following. You and I know that on Har HaBayis, you're not allowed, it's Nisa Daraisa, to walk with your shoes on Har HaBayis. Right? Not just in the Mishkan, not just in the Mikdash, but in the in the floor of Har HaBayis. You know what? The Yerushalmi says that they put their sandalim inside, in the width of the Shar of Har HaBayis. So what does that tell you? Without looking inside. Without looking inside, that means that you're not allowed to wear your feet, your shoes inside. That's why they had to hang their sandalim there, because you couldn't. Because already,
if you had to put them in the thickness of the wall, that means the thickness of the walls.
What?
They said it's the thickness of the wall, so the thickness of the wall would be considered to be like outside.
This is the thickness of the wall.
Right, you put it in the thickness of the wall, so you took them out right there, and that means you stuck them into the wall. You stuck them.
No, it means you're already not allowed to have. You already have to hang your shoes here. That means you're not allowed to have your shoes there. That's why they hung them out. They hung them there because you couldn't be wearing them there. So that means in the thickness of the walls, you had. Could you imagine like? Can you imagine what it looked like, by the way? You're walking into, you know, Har HaBayis, and there's like, I remember when I was in the Mir. If you go to the Mir, you've been to the Mir recently, you walk in the main entrance in Yerushalayim, on the right there's a jacket, coat, hat room, like the size of like this, a little smaller than this room. And there are so many thousands of jackets. It's like the only main jacket and hat room, and there are hats, levels of hats, you know, like, not just one hat rack like we have in our shul. We actually have two hat racks. There it's like one, two, three. And then each hat rack you have like three hats stuffed on top. You always want to make sure you stuff your hat on top of the other two guys so your hat doesn't get smushed by the two hats on top of it. And of course, everybody at the end of the day always is able to identify their own hat, which itself is a miracle. And women can never understand that. Men do understand it, but women just don't understand how that even, you know, works. But I guess, you know, in the same way we can't tell Chinese people apart, so fine. So you're walking into Har HaBayis, and what do you have? You have these little hooks with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of what? You think one guy's wearing green Nike high tops, and the other guy is wearing like, you know, some suede, Rockports or Echoes. I mean, they're all wearing brown leather sandalive. I don't know what they did. Don't understand. But anyway, that's what it was. So wait a second. If that means they couldn't walk into Har HaBayis, that means that this thickness of the wall, they hung their feet, their shoes there, they couldn't be wearing their feet, that they couldn't be wearing sandalim there. It sounds like it's kilafanim. Says the, says, listen to what he says. Neor Chatzari says. He says, wait a second. Why do you have to say a chiddush that they put their shoes in Har HaBayis? If we assume that anyway, the Ovi, the thickness of Har HaBayis, remember, that's the question that we have to figure out tonight. We have nothing explicit about the thickness of the Kotel wall of the Har HaBayis. We only have explicit things about the thickness of the Chom of Yerushalayim, the thickness of the wall of the Azara, the thickness of the Amma Traxin. We have no sources, no primary sources for what about the thickness of the Kotel itself, the thickness of Har HaBayis, the walls of Har HaBayis. Well, he says, if it was true that the thickness of the wall of Har HaBayis, the thickness of the Kotel, is not Kadosh, so why does the Yishami even have to tell me that they would put, or that it's mutter to put, or tell me anything about putting the shoes in the gateways? The only reason why you have to tell me a chiddush that you could hang the shoes in the gateways of Har HaBayis is because it must be that the thickness of the walls of the Kotel, the thickness of the walls of Har HaBayis are, yes, Kadosh. And the chiddush is, but you know, but if there's a doorway there, that makes it not Kadosh. And that's why you could put your shoes there. In other words, the fact that you hang your shoes there, and it says it specifically in the Sha'arim, only makes sense if you assume that everywhere else it is Kadosh, but here it's not Kadosh. Did I say that right? I might have said that wrong. Right, exactly. The fact they put their shoes there, that shows that you're allowed to put your shoes there, but not in the red, but not in the Ovi HaKhom. The Ovi HaKhom is going to be Aser, is going to have Kedusha, and there's a special Chiddush that since it's a Shar, that makes it Mutter. Fine.
So Shar is different than Ovi HaKhom.
Exactly. Shar is different than Ovi HaKhom. That's the point of the Yerushalmi.
But is it? It's different. Halachically. But practically speaking, is it?
No, because in our cases, you have a crevice in the wall.
What is a shar?
A shar is, you've been to the Shar Yafa, you know what a shar is.
Yeah,
so shar is a big open area that's a gate, that's a doorway. So there's a special halacha since that's the doorway, that's
even
the portal to go in. Even if Ovi HaChom is Kadosh, says Avni Nezer, the Yishami is telling you that the shar is, doesn't have that, you're allowed to have your shoes there. Okay, I don't want to get. What?
The guy 4 feet behind you who sticks his finger in. Right. It's in the Kaddish, and you are 4 feet ahead of them.
Correct. Correct. That's how he sees in the Yerushalmi. Fine.
The walls.
Then he goes. Then he questions. Okay. Fine. Fine. Let's move on because we have very little time. Let's go to the next point that he raised. The second point that he, that was as far as what's the status of the thickness of the walls. So it's not clear. I mean, it's complicated. Next point. The Ata Nevar, point number, hey, says the Avnei Nezer, the Ata Nevar, Im Har HaBayis Kodesh Ad Tohom Kumo Ezra. Right again. If we said, that was the second point. When they made the Kedusha, when Kedusha began on Har HaBayis, did it only start at the altitude above the height of the, where you walk on Har HaBayis, or even the whole depth of Har HaBayis, which would be the, where you're, the bottom of the Kotel is? That's so. Therefore, you could stick your hands into the kotel. That again, we're behind this kotel. It's just a lot of dirt. Okay. So now we're going to go into a totally new sugya. This is the sugya of. Anyone see Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark? Okay, my son wanted to show me how what a big tzaddik he is. He's watching somewhere Indiana Jones, but don't worry, Abba, it's talking about the Beis HaMikdash, it's talking about finding the Aron with the Kaporis. I'm like, oh, Baruch Hashem, wow. I'm so glad you're watching. But I asked him, were there any snakes? Okay, the Vamevin Yevin, fine. So we have to talk about tunnels. Tunnels under the Beis HaMikdash, mechilas. So what are the mechilas, these underground passageways that are underneath? They were underground passageways under the Beis HaMikdash. Did those places under the Beis HaMikdash have a status of Kedusha or not? That will help answer our question if the depth, the lower altitude below the height of the floor space, below the platform where everybody's standing and all the buildings are built and all the cars are driving and the wagons are rolling, below that, well, let's find out. Says Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara Pesach, in source number 8, Pesach, Samach Zayin, Amud Beis, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Mechilos, Lonis Kadshu. Okay, easy as pie. The tunnels, under areas that are Kadosh, the tunnels underneath those areas are not Kadosh. End of story, right? That means anything below the ground level of the Har HaBayis, which is all the area behind the Kotel, the lower levels of the Kotel, Lonis Kachu. So everything should be mutter. I could stick my hand, I could walk in there.
Were under the Azar or under the Har HaBayis?
Okay, so they're both. Let's discuss this. Okay. So Tosas and Psachim, on that Gemara, that said that Mechilas Lonis Kachu, Tosas asks the question, how could you say that the tunnels were not Kodesh? After all, there's an explicit Gemara in Zvachin Chavdal and Amar Aleph, the Chikadesh David Ritzpa, that when David was Mekadesh, the Azara, how was he Mekadesh that area? At Aris Tahoma Kodesh. He did do it all the way to the depths of the earth. So how can you tell me that anything underground is not considered Kodesh? It's a steer, explicit steer between Psachim and Zvachim. V'yesh lomar, based on a Gemara later on. When did Rabbi Yochanan say the din in source number 8 that the underground tunnels don't have Kedusha? That's only if the entrance to the tunnel is, if the tunnel opens out to where? Ki amar Rabbi Yochanan b'psuchas l'chol. If the entrance of the tunnel is to the chol, then it doesn't have Kedusha. Aval psuchas l'kodesh, but if the entrance to the tunnel, I assume that means where you enter the tunnel from above ground. If the entrance to the tunnel door, the trap door, whatever you want to call it, is psuchas to the Kodesh, then, in other words, it's a very funny halacha. You can't just take a sonar, radar, x-ray machine and figure out where the tunnel is and it's in a Kodesh area or not a Kodesh area. It has to do with where the doorway is. If the doorway to the tunnel is in the airspace of the dirt space of Kodesh, and the doorway is to Kodesh, then it's Kodesh. But if it's in the airspace, the dirt space of Kodesh, but the doorway is only, the entrance is only in Chol, then that tunnel has a din of Chol.
Only fast. In Chol.
What?
Let's say the entrance is both in Kodesh and in Chol.
So that's going to be explicit somewhere. Okay. I don't remember. It's explicit.
It's on submission of top.
Okay, yeah, I don't remember. Fine. Now, Rashi explains that they purposely created these tunnels. They weren't escape hatches, as you might have thought. Like, if there's going to be a Roman invasion, we'll escape to the underground tunnels, you know. Everybody always likes to think about, just interesting things to think about, to consider. But Rashi explains, there's something more simple. Let's say somebody's standing in Har HaBayis, and all of a sudden he becomes Tameh. He becomes a Zav, something comes out of him, and he whatever happens, and he becomes Tameh. Says Rashi, Mishum Hachi, in source number 10, this is in Tameh. You're in Tameh Chazayin?
This is, yeah.
Ah, that's the next Rashi. Yes, Rashi in Tameh Chazayin. Says Mishum Hachi Tiknu Lo Mechilos Lotzis Derasham. They built specifically these escape hatches, not to escape the Roman, attackers, but to escape you, for you to escape if you become Tameh.
does that help that you
hence, since it has an entrance into the Kodesh and to the Kodesh, it's still...
So therefore, you could get out of the Kodesh area quickly without having to walk through the entire Kodesh area. You could sort of just into a tunnel, and you're automatically in like a safe haven.
Mm-hmm. You've already become...
Yeah, but at least you're not there for too long. Yeah, so you minimize the time. Right, which could save you another, right, because it might be minimums to be really problematic. Fine. And Rashi continues, that's true, when do we say that the tunnels are not Kodesh? That's only the Mechilos Shetachas Harabayis. Oh, wow. You know what Rashi just said? Rashi just said, and we'll see what he says. We're going to see it in a minute. He's going to say, oh, the Mechil, let's read another line, then we'll come back. Mechilos Shetachas Azara, then the Mechilos, the tunnels that are underneath the Beis HaMikdash, those are the tunnels that depend where they have their opening, their escape hatch. Is it in the Kodesh area or is it in the Chol area? Mehim Psuchim La'azara, Niskach B'Kshudush La'azara. Next, top of page 3, Mehim Psuchim La'harabayis, then they don't have Kedusha. Wait a second. Rashi just told me that whole distinction of where the escape hatch, where the opening, the doorway of the tunnel is, determines whether it's Chol or Kodesh. That's only the tunnels underneath the Beis HaMikdash, the Azara. But if you have the tunnels, in other words, of the Har HaBayis, in other words, the dirt space of Har HaBayis, which is our question, what does Rashi say? The tunnels underneath Har HaBayis, not in the under the base of this, but underneath the rest of Har HaBayis, are chol. This itself also should answer our question. Can I stick my hand into the kotel? Heck, I could walk straight through the kotel if I had that power. Walk straight, and just, if I was like a little slimy thing that burrow my way through rocks, I'm a shamir, right? Let's say I'm a shamir, and I could burrow my way through the rocks and into the dirt behind the, under Har HaBayis. What is it? It's chol. Wow, that's a beautiful proof that the Avnei Nezer cited to, you know, to answer the issue. Haray, and this is the conclusion, Haray Avnei Nezer points out in the wide line on source on page number 3, the top wide line. Haray, back to these are the words of Avnei Nezer, after he quotes Rashi. Haray, the benuyos ba'azara, upsuchos lahara. Haray, the benuyos ba'azara, upsuchos lahara bayis, tochon chol, mashma hu chol gomra, fil ktushas har bayis emba. Fine. That came to that. Fine. Right, I'm sorry, in paragraph tests of the Tshuva of Avnei Nezer, where I underline Al Ken Mechila Shetachas Harabayis in and Kedushim, only except that they're open to the Azara, but if they're Psuchim to Harabayis, they're not Kadosh, and therefore Nisbarer Shetachas Harabayis above the dotted line. Nisbarer Shetachas Harabayis Chol Ve'eno Kadosh Rak Al Gabe above the Ritzpah. And you know who else says this? The Mechiz Chinuch. Wow. Now, that's
the original Ritzvah.
Don't know the answer. Now, there's one more issue. I do want to finish up. There's one more issue, and it's very, very geshmak proof. So I want to share this geshmak proof with you. We talked. There's an explicit Mishnah, Gemara in Zvachim, that we started with, that told us Gemara in Zvachim Lamed Beis that says Bia b'mikdash shma bia. That if you insert not just your whole body, if you're tummy, you insert your whole body, of course you're in trouble. But even if you insert a body part, that's also considered entering, violating the airspace of the Kodesh area. So the question is that only true? Is that Chumrah only true by the Azara, the Beis HaMikdash itself, or is it true also by Har HaBayis, meaning the Kotel in our case? So listen to this incredible Raya that the Avnei Nezer brings. It's just the pikchus of the Avnei Nezer. Just the logic that he's going to use here is so cute. I think that's much the best word. There's a Mishnah that we are all familiar with. Yeah, at least I am, because I just learned it with my son, Seches Pesachim. So when they had to make lotteries in the Beis HaMikdash to figure out who's going to do what, so they did 21st finger is it. Sort of. The early version, you know, prehistoric versions of 21st finger is it. Right? You stick out one finger, stick out two fingers, they count, and if your finger is it, then you get the job. So the question is, Why did they do it with fingers? Why don't you just count, you know, pick a number and then count people? Let's see the Gemara. Yumachav Bezum and Bez. Im Hayu Shnehem Shavin, if the two people were racing up to be makriv the carbon and they got to the finish line at the same time, so there's a tie, so we have to figure out who's going to do the carbon. Hamamuna Omalehem Hatzbiya. The appointed person says, okay, stick your fingers out and the 21st finger is it. Tana. The way they would do it is the person would say, okay, stick out your fingers for the count. Ask the Gemara, why are you counting their fingers? Count them. Says the Gemara, this is a proof to Rabbi Yitzchak, the Amar Asr Limnos Es Yisrael, you're not allowed to count Jews. What did this say?
Fingers are not Jews.
Fingers are not Jews! Oh my gosh, is that the cutest proof ever? He just proved that your finger is not a Jew. Your finger is not you. We philosophers could go to town on this. Are you, what are you? Are you your heart, you're your brain, you're your finger, my finger, my body? It says, the Gemara says explicitly, you're not allowed to count people. You can count fingers, but isn't a finger just a part of a people? That's what he says. And as far that we could say to be matir, you know, entering just my fingers, just my hands, just part of my body. Okay, he rejects this. What? Again, it's a comment. He ends up rejecting. I just wanted to share this very cute. It's just the cutest proof in the world. It's just like. Okay.
Could you count noses?
No. I don't know. Okay, fine. He rejects it, but I just thought it was worth. It was a svara worth seeing. It was exciting svara. Fine. Let's go. Page 4 and finish up. Source number 4 is a little bit more complicated. If you remember in our introductory section, we mentioned the source in that talked about taking the Karban Pesach out through a window. And it talked about a wall within a wall. And Rashi explained that there was a short wall and then a big wall, and if you go on the short wall that is at the height of the floor, then it's possible that you could have something on the thickness of the wall. Based on this, he shows that the Kedusha, the original Kedusha that was granted on Har HaBayis was only where, how do you make the Har HaBayis Kadosh? They marched. They walked around the area. That was right, like Rav David raised before. How do you make that area Kadosh? They marched. They walked around the area. Wherever they walked, that area was instilled with Kedusha. Gentlemen, people walk on the ground. Therefore, what part of the Azara could be Niskadesh? Any part that is on ground level. That's what the Gemara meant when it's talked about a low wall and a high wall, and the low wall is at ground level, so therefore it's kadosh. But any part that's above the wall, that's higher up, potentially can't become kadosh. Therefore, even if we talk about thickness of a wall, the only thickness of a wall that could become kadosh, according to this argument, which again we don't have time to go into thoroughly, the only thickness of the wall is the thickness of the wall that is up till ground level. Meaning from the that you could march on. But the thickness of a wall that's above ground level, well, you couldn't march there. So if you can't march there, it can't become kadosh. So it never became kadosh. Anyway, based on this and all the previous svaras that the Avnei Nezer accumulated, the Avnei Nezer says, halacha lemaisa, there is no problem whatsoever to insert a hand into the crevice of Har HaBayis, even assuming that it is Har HaBayis. And even if we say, he talks about at the very end, even if we assume that, yeah. After the Avnei Nezer, we just went through the tshuva. Again, it's a very, very long tshuva. It's a very difficult tshuva because we're not familiar with any of the sugyas. He basically has four separate reasons why, and they seem, some of them seem quite convincing, why there should not be any concern. Let's now look in Reb Chaim Kanievsky's Derech Chachma, which is his Perush on the Rambam. And in source number 13 on page 4.
Can't see.
I know, it's very difficult to see. This I have to thank Rabbi Shmuel Bach, Daniel Bach, sent me, he saw my sign on the wall, he said, oh, Reb Chaim Kanievsky has a piece on that in his Sefer. Wow, pretty incredible. And he sends me a picture of this. I cut and paste from the picture that he emailed to me. That's why it's not so clear. Look in the Tziyun Halacha, in source number 13, Nun Aleph. Ulefizeh, he quotes one of the dinim that we mentioned earlier. Ulefizeh, the second line of that first dark section. Ulefizeh, the middle of the line. Bekotel Hamaravi Bizmanenu. Our days, Kotel Hamaravi, Sheshamati Mimaran HaChazonish, Shukosel HaRabayis, right? Okay, that's what we're assuming the whole time, not like the Radvaz. Okay. Mutter, Lahachnis Hayad, first one line Hayad, Ba'ovia Kosel. Asha Anutmeim, it is permitted to insert your hands into the thickness of the wall, even though we are Tameh. Right? Let's stop here. But now I start my underline. When we come akom Amar Maranzal, but the Chazanish told us, says Chaim Kanievsky, Lizaher shalol lahachnis hayad toch ovi hakotel. Bitzarach iyun tamo. I don't understand why the Chazon Ish said that it's taka better not to. Mikra did not just prove that it's mutter. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, I don't understand why the Chazon Ish so told us that it's better not to stick our hands into the kotel. The Beir Halacha on the bottom of Reb Chaim Kanievsky points out, again, and it's more complicated than Lama Maran Amar Shenach Liza Shalal Hachnis Yada Bin Avni Hakotel Keshu Kotel Harabayis. Right? It's not a. What Tuma is Asur to be in Harabayis? A Tamei Mei. So is he allowed to be in Harabayis?
No.
I assume he is allowed to be. Varai, all the people that go up to Harabayis, they go to the mikvah, but they're still Tamei Mei. They don't have Paraduma. What? I think it's only prompt to go into the Azara. What's the process? Why do they go to the mikvah? Because maybe they're
Zombie.
Maybe they're Zavs. Oh. Who else is a Zav? Anita. Anita. Yeah. Zav, yeah. Yeah. Vishema Choshash Lizavim. When was the last time you met a Zav? I guess you don't discuss these things so often. Must be, you know, I don't even know what Zav is. V'kevon she'enu elach shash rachok lo osar. He says, you know, he's not going to say it's osar because what's the chance that a guy's a Zav? Elam shenachon lizar. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Miu isha nida. Wow. A nida is a Zav. Zava. What? A Zav, a nida. Right, yes. We treat her as, she might be. She might be, and you wouldn't know if she is. It's too complicated to explain this to her. Some nidas could be, I don't know if it's Tumas Nida or just Tumas Zava, is also in Harbayas, I don't know. Miu isha nida tzricha midina lizar shasura bahar habayas. Again, according to the Avnei Nezer, it's not hard, even if you're Tamei, you're a Zav, you're neither, you're everything, it's okay. But he's saying, according to the Chazon Ish, who is concerned, maybe you only have to be concerned if you're a guy and you're probably not a Zav. So you could be Mekla. But if you're Nida, you know, a woman knows she's Nida, and she didn't go to the Mikvah yet, after she goes to the Mikvah, so she's not a Nida anymore. Whatever Zava that she might have been, Zava slash Nida she might have been, she went to the Mikvah and she's not anymore. But says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, but if she isn't either, she's not yet Tahora, she's in the process of, you know, she's not Zayin Akim, or not yet, not, and before she, or she's seeing right now, then Tzricha Midin Lizar. I think he means according to that concern of the Chazon, of the Chazon Ish. So, here you have it.
I'm a leaning kittle.
That's a different sugya. That's a Shaila Me'ilah. I don't have no idea. It's a whole different Shaila. It seems from the Avnei Nezer, again, there are more poskim who discuss this. We just work through the Avnei Nezer. If you want it, the tshuva itself is exceedingly long, but it's very beautiful to read, and we shall all be zocha to have the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. Amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.